A listener production.
Hey, Complete Dribblers. This interview does come with a slight trigger warning. It does contain themes of injury, death, and drowning. If any of the following content has affected you or someone you know, please reach out to Lifeline on 13 11 14. Or head to floattosurvive.com to find out more information.
Today's episode, I would like to issue an apology. Amber, thank you for being back here in the studio. How's your finger?
She's good.
You okay?
Yeah.
Show me. Okay, looks fine.
Yeah.
Sorry for burning you last week. I would like to dedicate today's podcast to you, and you're a valued member of the team.
That's lovely. Okay. I've got my own bone to pick with you now.
Legitimately? Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Or like, ha-ha, podcast?
No, like, legit. I just want to get it out.
Okay, get it out.
Because I feel like if we need to continue working together, I need to address this.
Oh, no.
Okay.
You've really messed up here, Christian.
You have. Sorry, Christian. We've known each other for a little while now, I would say.
Yep.
I would consider us almost like kind of friends.
Mm.
I feel like a little bit pissed off because you don't follow me on Instagram.
And I only just followed you on Facebook yesterday because you were like, I need permission to post. And I was like, oh, yes. Oh, I don't follow Amber.
But you know what? You have tagged me in stories, Christian.
I have too.
But you don't follow me.
You're one of those people.
It's like if we're going to be working together.
Play the opener!
When life gives you lemons, he'll turn them sassy, not
no,
sour.
No, I'm not following you.
What? Who wrote this script?
Strap yourself in. It's Complete Dribble with Christian Hull.
Oh, there's dust in here. Yay, welcome. Hi, Nat. It's great to follow you on Instagram, loving your feed, seeing all your posts. Amber, welcome. Okay, so I want to jump straight into it today. Don't look at me like that. You know I love you, Amber.
Fuck's
sake. I'll follow you afterwards. Christ. This is quite serious. This, what I want to talk about was really quite full on, and I might have an emotional moment in retelling this story because it was a very terrifying moment for me recently when I went on holidays. I've already cried several times from this dramatic event, but I went on a family holiday to the New South Wales South Coast, Jervis Bay, early January. Mum had booked a whole house for 11 of us. Fuck, it felt like Big Brother. Like, I love my family, but Christ. So we get to the beach, 4 o'clock. We're like, oh, yeah, it was a bit rough. You put your feet in the water, it's fucking cold. And, yeah, there was a few people around. And so we're like, oh, yeah, cool. So we were wandering home. We wander off the beach through a little narrow brick pathway with lots of shrubbery. And we hear off in the distance someone scream, help! And we're like, oh, kids, you know, don't scream that at the beach. And then we hear, help! And we're like, ooh. So we turn around and we can only see a small section of the beach from where we are. And I see someone running. And then we hear, help! And we're like, our hearts sink. We're like, shit. So we run down to the beach and we see a lot of people standing up and pointing and trying to signal, like, lay on your back, get on your back, and then, like, pointing. So I'm like, I'll just join in. So I'm just screaming, lay on your back, and I'm pointing. I'm like, what are we doing? And I look out and there's three people quite a ways out on the shore not doing very well.
Oh, no.
What it was there was one man who I later found out is probably in his 40s. He was an international traveller who was caught in a rip. Two other young guys were out there and they'd been out there for 15 minutes trying to get him in. So they were the ones screaming for help because they were tired. I see a lady with a boogie board and so does my brother. Now, my brother Tim, I'm 36. Tim's 31, quite fit, goes to the gym. He runs for the boogie board to give to someone to go out. Grabs the boogie board and he's running out. And I'm like, okay, good on you, Tim. You know, very clever. Grab a flotation device. So obviously this person had been in the water for at least half an hour, 15 minutes probably trying to get in. Then the two guys tried to get in and rescue him. That's another 15 minutes. And he was fading.
You'd be exhausted.
I was looking out into the water and I could see him trying to lie on his back, but it was rough. So a wave would just knock you over and you'd have water in your mouth. So as all this is going on, I see my brother like getting in quite deep. And I'm like, oh, shit, there's no one around him. What's he going to do? Who's he going to give his boogie board to? And then he just starts swimming in toward the guy who's drowning. And I Oh, I got so scared in that moment because I had my 10-year-old niece with me watching this, who's already not a fan of the beach. And then I had Jenny, his wife, watching. And I might be buoyant, but, you know, there's nothing I could do. And I panicked. I went into this incredible panic where I thought, shit, he's going in fully clothed to rescue a guy who just is trying to breathe. And I just thought, he's just going to grab Tim and use Tim as a flotation device and pull him under. Because that's what you do. You panic and you just grab whoever's there and you're trying to survive. So I'm like, go from like, oh, someone help, to fuck! If he drowns, have I done everything I possibly could to help bar going in? If I went in there, it would have made the situation 10 times worse. So I knew I couldn't go in. So I started running around the beach looking for another flotation device. I'm like, okay, let's have one ready if things go south. There wasn't. The only people who had one was this mother who, unfortunately, bless her, recognised me, which is the worst. I was like, fuck, I don't want to be recognised now. I'm in a panic. She was like, oh, I love your videos. I'm like, give me your flotation device. So I'm carrying this child's tiny, like, baby shark flotation device. It's like standing in the water, like holding it out. Like, I'm nowhere near them. I'm like, here you go, I'm helping. Panicking. People are like, don't go in. I'm like, I'm not fucking going in. I'm doing something. Everyone was standing there just looking. I was like, what do we do? I just like to stress the guy was fine in the end. But of course, in that moment, you don't know what's going to happen. So I had 000 on my phone, but I was like, do I call them? I don't want to waste their time. Yes, you just call them.
That's what they're there for.
You just call them. But also, if everyone calls them, it's all going to the same place. They're not going to send 20 ambulances. Like, it's all logged. It's all registered. You just call. Thank God Tim, thank God, was smart enough. As he was going out there, he was like, okay, I can't go anywhere near this guy. He was like, I'm not going near him. And so what he did was he got close enough where he could sort of push the board for the guy who was drowning to grab. The guy grabbed it and he was like, my job's done. You guys need to bring him in. I'm exhausted. And so there was another two people who brought the guy in. So the guy comes in. He's standing up, walking out of the beach. And initially I'm like, oh, thank God, he's totally fine. He's walking. Then the guy falls on the ground. Obviously, he's so tired. And Tim was like, call an ambulance. Didn't know this about Tim. He knows a lot about drowning. He's like, yeah, there's secondhand drowning, I think it's called. Don't quote me on that. I am about to talk to Hoppo from Bondi Rescue about this, you know.
I've never heard of that before.
Well, neither had I. So I might check with Hoppo. But 2 days later, the same thing happened in Sydney. A woman slipped on the rocks at Vaucluse, Rushcutters Bay. She slipped and drowned. So that was in the news. Then there was another person who drowned in a rip off a beach in Sydney and was unable to be rescued. And I was like, I can see. Like, I mean, I was being very dramatic.
But it's also that feeling of helplessness.
Helplessness.
Like, you're just sitting there watching this entire thing go down. But, Christian, I think you were very, very smart in not going in, because if too many people try to go in, too many people try to help.
Well, they may get caught in a rip.
Exactly.
That's why I really wanted to get on the phone a very famous lifeguard. You might have seen him on Bondi Rescue. It is Hoppo. Hoppo, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Christian, for having me on, mate.
Oh, you're so welcome. Now, I'm very dramatic, but I wanted to just, my reaction to watching my brother go out there, I was scared that he was going to drown and he was going to die. So I just immediately burst into tears and felt completely helpless. Like, I'm 5'2 and 110 kilos. I can't go in the water. What the fuck can I do?
Oh, look, the best thing to do is, like your brother did, is take a flotation device with you into the water, because the first thing someone wants to do when they're panicking, thinking they're going to die, they're going to grab hold of you. So that was great. But the best way to do it is just everyone hangs onto the boogie board, and majority of rips will take you across the sandbank where you can stand up, or where the waves are breaking, which can push you back to shore. Whereas most people, and that's why these people have been drowning, is they try then to come back to where they came from.
Right. Because my uncle was like, and I didn't know this about rips, because you say, just go with it, just go with it. But it's like, where am I going? So it actually snakes you back around to sort of the other end of the beach.
Pretty much. That's what we're doing now with Float the Survivors, trying to get that myth, you know, over the years, you'll end up in New Zealand, you'll end up way out to sea, you know, all these theories, but it just doesn't happen, you know. When I was growing up as a kid, surfing, Dad used to teach me, get in the rip with the surfboard, so It's easy to get out to the lineup, catch the wave back in, and it's just like one big circle. So that's where, when I've been watching, obviously being, you know, a professional lifeguard now for over 30 years, I've just watched the behaviour of people year in, year out, and I've just decided, well, it's time, I think, with, you know, the drownings are going up. The messaging we've been using is obviously not working. So let's try something different.
A question I have for you, which I don't know if true, is there such a thing as like secondary drowning once you're out of the water?
Yep, yep. So what happens, you can swallow a whole lot of water, which goes into your lungs, and your body can't naturally get rid of that. You've got to get any water in your lungs needs to be drained out by the, you know, at a hospital. So people then start feeling a bit sick and think, oh, I'll be okay, I'll be okay. And you can go away and then, you know, lie down and have a rest, and that's secondary drowning because the water's still in your lungs, then can block the oxygen going through, which has to then get into the blood. So the oxygen in the blood then goes through, you know, to keep your brain going and meninges and organs and hearts and stuff like that. So, yeah, secondary drowning can be quite
Jesus,
dangerous.
Your job is actually quite stressful. Like, yeah. I'm just going to reach in and pull someone out of the water. But what I loved, because you do float to survive, which is basically keep calm and get on your back, is as soon as we were hearing the screams for help, what the people on the beach were doing was signalling for the guy to roll on his back, which I'd never heard of, and they were pointing just to go with the rip. So they were like, roll over, get on your back and go with the rip. This float to survive message, which is basically, get on your back and just, it'll take you out where it won't be so rough, and you just go with it and you'll snake around and then you'll be able to swim to shore.
Yeah, you go with it. And the other part too is you can, a lot of people find it, whether it's on their backs comfortable or whether it's treading water or even breaststroke, we call that active floating. So you're still keeping your head above water, but you the idea is to keep your head above water and minimise getting exhausted. If you float, even if you're doing, you know, a little breaststroke or sculling, that's active floating. Mm. Because a lot of people don't know what rips are. They don't know which way the water's moving either in a rip. So if you just stop and do nothing, then you'll know which way the rip's going, the flow of the water.
Gotcha.
And just keep going with it rather than trying to fight against the water and come back. And the other thing too, the longer you can float and keep your head above water and you're not swallowing water, the more chance you've got of someone actually rescue you, like your brother came out and rescued the person. But the longer they can stay afloat, the more chance you've got of survival.
Yeah.
The idea of the message too is to change everybody's behaviour. It's changing the behaviour of people when they're in the water, because I've always said that, you know, there's always the swim between the flags. There's all preventive messages out there, but it doesn't help the person that's in the, once you're in there. It's not only just the beach. So 60% of drownings are inland in Australia. 40% are on the coast in the ocean.
Really?
So there's more drownings inland in like rivers, lakes, dams, pools, backyard pools than there are at the ocean. So
the first lesson that the little kids learn, they throw them in and they teach them to just turn around and float. And you see some of these kids and they're months old and they're so cute. They're just dead stiff. Floating, just, and with their, you know, able to breathe. So, I mean, it is the perfect message.
Yeah, you can teach a 12-month-year-old to float in 10 by 10-minute lessons, but you try and teach them to swim with their arms, you're never going to achieve that for a long, long time.
No, years. So, people are still trying to teach me.
Yeah. A couple of parents came to me a few years ago and wanted to know where to go to learn to float. I sent them to a place. One mother continued with the child and he ended up being able to float. The other mother ended up stopping and not doing it and wanted to put him in, thought the better option was to try and do swimming lessons, right? Mm. About 3 months, 6 months later, that lady's come back and said, well, we were at a barbecue the other week and these kids were about, say, 18 months, so just sort of start walking type. They got away, fell in the backyard pool. The kid that learned to float was just there floating, laughing, thinking it was a great thing.
Wow.
The other one was on the bottom and he died.
Oh, shit.
That's the one that they didn't teach to float because she thought swimming lessons was a better way to go.
Oh, fuck.
Which, that's what I'm trying to put, that you need to teach everyone to float first, then into using your arms and kick your legs, then into actually, you know, swimming properly with a freestyle. That we've lost that floating somewhere.
Yeah.
It used to be around when I was a kid.
But yeah,
it's been lost somewhere.
You're an absolute legend because, I mean, I'm surprised I didn't cry while I was talking to you. The trauma, it's so weird because I'm like, nah, I'm fine. And I was driving with Mum and Tim, my brother, in the car, and I just burst into tears. And I was like, where did this come from? I'm like, it's really, like, what you do is incredibly full on. So thank you. And I really appreciate this Float to Survive message. And I'm not going to lie, Bondi Rescue is such a great show. And I also loved watching you and the team in the swimwear. It was great. sorry, I made this awkward. Great. Yeah,
Even the tops off.
Tops off. Rescue me, help. But thank you so much. I really appreciate you making time. If people want to get involved, do you have a website or somewhere we can send them?
Yep, there's a website, floatsosurvive.com. The other one is Surf Educators International. They can go on that. That's more in depth on it all.
Popo, thank you so much.
All right, thanks,
Christian. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Complete Dribble with Christian Hull.
I'm really out of breath because I just ran outside to get my favourite person of all time. Please welcome to the studio, Mr. Jack Paul. Yay!
Thank you.
I'm surprised you've joined us yet again. Because
I've recovered. It's
yeah,
nice
we've
be
been
back.
Friends for
15 years.
15 years.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because we
2008,
started working together at NXFM in Newcastle, mm-hmm. Radio station there. For those listening, Jack Paul is the big boss at B105, which is one of Brisbane's most listen to stations. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Between the ages of 65 plus for yeah statistics. I respect you as a friend. You've been a great loyal friend to me. So I just want to start this off by saying, don't worry. I'm not going to show anyone, but I just wanted to share with everyone on the podcast my greatest radio moment in 9 years of working in radio. It was about 2 years in. I was working with Jack at the time.
Oh, no.
This isn't even why I brought you in here. I just found some footage of that great moment. The greatest moment in my radio career was when at 26 years old, I think you were like 22.
I was 19.
Jack is a former water polo player, so tall.
Are you really?
Yeah. So just imagine a water polo player. Jack was like, oh, we just need to film something. I was like, yeah, I'll film. What is it? We went outside.
No,
let me get through. It was raining and we had the street team car, which is like a big four-wheel drive. And next minute, Jack comes out wearing like the smallest little pair of water polo
but we had
budgie smugglers.
Conversations about not talking about this.
No. We had conversations and I said to you, look what I've just found. And I said, I promise I won't show anybody.
Okay.
And then I proceeded to... just doing some things in those Speedos with the car while it was raining and some milk. And I just wanted to say thank you for that moment. It was a really joyous moment. And I found the footage on an old hard drive recently. And it's just so good to watch. And I texted Jack like instantly. I texted him a photo and then went, don't worry. I'm not going to show anyone this. But
Jack has a look of fear.
The leverage I had.
No, it's like, it's like I knew the day was coming. And. I know it doesn't really exist in clouds because it was before that.
Yeah, it was.
And
yeah.
I'm not surprised you had it on an external hard drive.
I had it on several in case I lost it. But speaking of come, the actual reason why you're here, well, you said the day was coming and the day is coming. The actual reason I got you into the studio, again, you willingly walk into the studio. I joined OnlyFans recently. Don't pretend like you're not across that. Yep.
Support the business.
So I started it as a real sort of body positive thing,
yes.
And then it's taken on a life of its own. And so I've made a decision to really like lean into this OnlyFans and upload some raunchy content. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to be in it. That's not what. Or
just, why am I here?
Yeah. Oh dear. I wanted to celebrate with my favourite team of mm-hmm. people, which is your staff, the Breakfast Show staff that tolerate me screaming and shouting in the office, me launching X-rated OnlyFans content, and I brought in a cake that I would love to present to the team.
Not to me, you want to present it to my team?
Well, you haven't seen it. It's sitting in front of you right now, but I would love the team to help me celebrate really committing to OnlyFans.
Okay.
So the cake's sitting in front of you.
Yep.
Just Just lift off the box and just have a look, but don't say anything.
And don't say anything.
Now, just remember, I would... Yeah, you can say no.
No, we can't have that in the office, Christian. But even how you've spelt it.
Yep. Yep. Isn't that not the most amazing cake of all time? I would like you to just put on the headphones.
Yeah.
Because I want you to describe the cake to my beautiful Complete Drivel listeners.
Oh, if nobody...
just nice and slowly. But hold on. We're just going to play some backing music. So just remember, describe it slowly to the listeners and commence.
Well,
slowly
mounted up on top of a large blue platform with writing the saying, "The best is yet to come."
Yes.
Not spelt C-O-M-E.
How's it spelt?
C-U-M.
Yes!
Is, I'm going to say, it doesn't seem large. But then the size of the hand around the dick and balls, this is out of ratio.
Well, you haven't described what's sitting on top of the cake.
It's a huge dick and balls being grasped by a hand with blue fingernails with a great grip.
Yeah.
And has a bird pooped all over it?
Well, that's what we could tell your team.
And look... by the looks of it, the hand doesn't need to be there much longer, so...
Why?
Well, you've put cream all over the top of the dick and the cake.
Thank you.
And it's dripping down everywhere.
Isn't it amazing?
It's very detailed.
Do you get why it's the best is yet to come?
And it's celebrating your OnlyFans. It says OnlyFans around the bottom.
Yeah. It's because I'm uploading cum videos to OnlyFans is basically what I'm trying to get to. That's perfectly timed music there. The question I have for you is it okay? You have a team meeting, a content team meeting in half an hour.
It's a serious one.
Is it?
Got to set the tone early.
Well, why don't you fire who you need to fire and then I'll walk in with cake. And we can all sing happy birthday to my
Let's give a piece to their support person. It's not one of those meetings. Okay. It's not.
There's already been three of those meetings in the past year, so I wouldn't surprise me. Now, you can say I don't want to force you into anything.
I want to celebrate everybody in the team and their own individual pursuits. we just come with a warning that not everybody has to have a slice.
Okay.
And that it might offend.
But the main question is, would you like a slice?
No. I'm not going
to
eat the topper.
Would you like to eat my cake?
No. Christian.
I'm the cat.
Do you remember that time for your birthday when I texted you by accident? I was like, hey, I was hiding in your cake tonight. And you're like, do you know what that means? I was like, no, what does that mean? And I was like,
yes. I'm not going to pretend like I've screenshot that and put that into the Jack Bull folder.
That cake, look at it.
What flavor is it?
The flavor. What flavor do you think?
I'm not trying it now. I'm not what you're going to do with the footage.
It's cum flavored. What if I've jizzed in the recipe?
No,
I'm feeding it to the team.
You can't do that.
I haven't done that. But I mean,
is it a salty cake?
I actually don't remember what I requested because I couldn't give a shit what flavour the cake was. I was just all about the penis on the top.
It looks great. I think that's a great cake company.
Thank you.
Very large balls, if it's lifelike.
Stop it. Thank you. Okay. Okay. I'll just look at you through the glass and you just give me a wave and then I'll walk in and we can all sing happy birthday. Or do you want to warn the team and then...
I'll just say that you're catering. Come on in.
Catering. That's brilliant. Okay. Yep.
Perfect.
Okay, well, I'll see you in about half an hour.
And the only thing on the menu is meat.
Oh, you should see what I'm wearing. Thanks for coming. Yay! Jack came! Thank you.
Only for you, Christian.
I'll stop it. Okay, I'm going to get ready to gate crush this meeting.
All right.
The video of me gate crushing the meeting will be posted all over our socials. So thanks, team.
B105 content team do not know what's about to hit them.
Mm-mm. I'm about to come.
Christian is coming.
I've corrupted all of us and I love it.
Complete Drivel with Christian Hull.
Wow.
It's the week.
It's week on the web. I have a jar in front of me and every week we pop something we find hilarious in the jar. At the end of the year, we're going to go through the jar. This week, as always, I forgot this is a segment.
You forgot again.
But you know that I forgot because you've brought something. I'm holding a piece of paper that says open me.
Don't open yet.
You've got a laptop with a video for me to watch.
Do you know what tomorrow is?
Yes, of course I do.
What is tomorrow?
It's a stupid Hallmark day. I mean, this podcast gets uploaded on the 13th of February. So if you're listening post Valentine's Day, it's Valentine's Day, basically.
Mm. Which is a day that.
Boo!
Being recently single. Wait. Boo!
Are we all single in this room? Yay! Let's all kiss. Kiss. Yay! We can put anyone's dick in our mouth. Anyone's dick. But mine. Staying out of. Oh. Why do I always make things?
Well, we've already had your dick cake in our mouth, so.
Oh, you did? Yeah. You ate my cake?
Yeah, I did.
You did eat the cake?
I did.
Thank you. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. I thought given the theme of Valentine's Day,
yes.
As I was surfing the web, I found this very interesting thing that you can do specifically for an ex or someone of hatred, and I thought, why not do it for Christian?
Oh, am I your ex in this scenario?
You're the person of hatred.
Did you get a cameo message?
No. Okay. There is video and visuals involved. So basically, okay. I didn't realise this.
Hurry up, get to the point. I really want to open this.
But
yep.
You can actually name a cockroach or a rodent.
Stop.
After someone.
Stop.
And then have that be fed to an animal to consume. Now, there are a lot of zoos and a lot of places around the globe that do this, and I thought I need to do this for Christian. So if you'd like to open that piece of paper, I have named a cockroach Christian.
Stop it. At the San Antonio Zoo, cry me a cockroach. A fundraiser for you on Valentine's Day. Roses are red, violets are blue. I supported San Antonio Zoo by naming a cockroach after you. Yes. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
To watch a cockroach be fed to a bird, follow at Antonio Zoo on social media.
So now with that donation, and it goes to animal conservation and everything, but with that donation, there is a personalised video. So I would like you I'm gonna press play.
Hey there, it's Randall. I'm the head animal trainer here at San Antonio Zoo. And this here is Harold. He's a native tawny frogmouth. Harold loves cockroaches. But
same.
Only when they're named Christian. Here, Harold, take a bite out of Christian.
Oh, it's so cute. Oh. I think they're adding those sound effects in, surely. Oh, that owl is so cute. Is that a tawny frog mouth? Oh, thank you.
So happy Valentine's Day.
The bird was eating my cockroach.
Yes.
That is a really thoughtful gift.
Also, did you see the little message that was also on the piece of paper? Did they include that on it? Oh, they didn't include it.
What did you put?
Said, may this be a representation of the hatred that I have for you and this podcast.
Are you the bird? Thank you.
Amber, I got you nothing.
Yeah. No, but, no, of course. What did Amber get for me? Amber, everyone! That's why I don't follow you on Instagram. Thank you, Nat. Thank you.